sure.
Hi, I'm Kofi Dunning.
Hi, I'm Seb Brahel.
And you're listening to footballsack.com.
Thanks to Kofi Dunning and Seb Ryle of Sydney FC for doing the intros on my behalf today. This is the Football Sack Podcast. We're back again. I'm Jack Quigley, the host. With me, as always, is Christian Leyland.
Thank you very much.
Let's kick it off. And as we dance stupidly in the studio to our own theme tune, we will get into the show. We've got a fair bit to get through today, so let's get straight into it.
Yeah, why not?
Let's start with last night's action from the World Cup. We had three matches, as we have done every night of the tournament thus far. We had the Slovaks, your dark horses for the tournament, backing up after their draw with the Kiwis and losing to Paraguay 2-0.
Well, I'm glad they're doing me proud. That's
yeah,
all I can say.
Yeah. They did nothing last night, did they?
They absolutely did nothing.
They did in Australia, but they played Paraguay instead of Germany.
Well, it took them into injury time of the second half to have a shot on target. Yeah. It was really, really bad.
It was bizarre. And at half time in the SBS studio, Craig Foster just was baffled. He was just going, "What are they doing?" And he was bang on. What were they doing?
I have no idea. Yeah. That's the thing, yeah, because before the game, he said exactly what I said.
He thought,
these guys are going to put on a show.
But you saw them play a few times in qualifying, and you sort of said to me, these guys play really good football. I'd not seen much of them apart from their results.
They did. They ripped up in qualifying. They played good, entertaining football, attacking down the wings, down the flanks, cutting it back inside.
Did they top Russia's group? Or was that Who top? Someone top Russia's group.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They were in Slovenia's group, I know that much.
Oh, they were in Slovenia's group. Oh, okay. The mighty Slovenia.
Yes, who did a job on USA almost.
Just about, yeah. I picked 3-0 Slovenia for that game just to be an arse, and at 2-0 Slovenia, I was getting very cocky, and then it all went to shit.
Yes, yes.
The other two really big results, or two big games to talk about. Italy won, the defending world champions. New Zealand won the biggest result in New Zealand's footballing history by a long way.
For sure. Craziness. It was
how
amazing.
Good was that?
So good, so good.
That was. Who'd have thought, we were saying just before we came on air, who would have thought that going to this World Cup, going into the last round of matches, that you'd have France pretty much out, England needing to win to have a chance of going through, and New Zealand with their destiny in their own hands. The footballing world's been flipped on its head.
Yeah, all good luck to them. You know, they've played well. Well, they've played as good as they can.
Yeah,
and they deserve to be where they're at.
I think they've even punched a little bit above their weight. And it was really nice to see that bloke come on at the end for New Zealand with like a minute to go. I can't remember his name, but he's the one that still has a full time job in a bank in Wellington, and he got on the field. Oh, I wish I could remember his name.
Yeah, well, it's very rare for stories like that at World Cups these days. Yeah. Sort of professionalism. It's great to see.
Yes, right. You know, everyone's got a Rolex and a Bentley, and this bloke works in a bank, and he's gone out there and played for New Zealand. So well done to the Kiwis. We wish them all the best. Shane Smeltz, as we've said on this show since day dot, he's just a goal poacher. He will score against anybody if he plays. Yeah, he's just, he'll score against the best defences in the world. He just, if give him a chance, he'll take it.
That's it.
Even if he's offside, which he kind of was.
He definitely was.
But it was evened up because I thought Italy's penalty was extremely soft.
Yeah, no, the penalty was crap. But, one dodgy goal each.
Yeah. The penalty, at first, I thought, it's a massive dodge. I think they did kind of clip heels, but it wasn't a foul. They just kind of, they were both running the same direction, and that contact happens. You don't have to fall over.
It was the jersey tug which got the free kick.
Yeah, he had a slight tug on the jersey. It wasn't enough to pull him down. He went down by his own accord, but yeah, he did pull the jersey.
Yeah, in the Italians' defense, well, not so much the Italians' defense, but the I can't remember the name of the Kiwi player who was holding the jersey, but it was a totally
it was what was the bloke's name? Yeah. No, I can't think of it.
Anyway, he had
Smith.
He had no. It was
Tommy Smith. Yeah,
he had no reason to hold the jersey. The Italian player wasn't near the ball. It was a bit. It was stupidity on his behalf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
not quite as stupid as the Nigerian bloke who got himself sent off for in that Greece game.
Nigeria on top, 1-0, looking like they were just going to cruise.
It was easy for him at that stage, wasn't it?
And then this Nigerian guy just decides, you know what, I'm going to kick my Greek opponent because I can.
Yeah, you know what, let's do this with 10 players. Mm.
Yeah. And then it just went downhill. In all fairness to Greece, as soon as he went off, they subbed on three strikers.
Yeah.
And they played attacking football, which I've never seen Greece do before.
They jumped on their opportunity, took it well, all credit to them.
And it was
well
really, done. Really, really entertaining.
Yeah.
Again, if it wasn't for Vincent Enyema, the Nigerian keeper, they would have been in front by a lot more.
It was really sad that he's been great for their first two matches and did just... it was a really bad error for the goal.
It was really sad to see.
So Nigeria, their bags are packed. Well, pretty much. They need a miracle to go through. Cameroon are gone. They were the first side to go officially and not have a chance to go through. So the African side's not faring well. Ivory Coast, after their terrible game against Portugal, lost last night as well to Brazil.
Yeah, it's a tough one for the African sides.
Well, it's always tough to play Brazil. There's never an easy game. But, you know, we were laughing saying Harry Kewell gets sent off for getting a ball smashed against his bicep, and Luis Fabiano controls the ball twice with his arm in the lead-up to his goal, which is funny. It certainly doesn't do a lot to quash the ever-growing conspiracy theories that the referees want the big teams at the final stages of this tournament. But... I'm not suggesting that. Ivory Coast, they've been disappointing at this tournament, haven't they?
Yes and no. Their first match against...
what haven't they been disappointing?
I thought their defence. Their defence has gone
against Portugal,
really, really good.
They pretty much limited Portugal to one shot, didn't they?
Yeah. That's it. And yeah, that's not hard. I mean, that's not easy.
Yeah.
That's not easy. Again, like I said this in our first program, the African defences are generally shambles. Sven Goran Eriksson came in.
He's good, yeah.
He's fixed the defence, like, really, really good. You know, what team's not going to let Brazil score three goals against them? Especially one that wasn't legit, you know?
I was listening to an interview that Arsenal and Ivory Coast player Emmanuel Abue did, and he sort of said what you said. Africans, everyone has flair, they're all excitable, they love to have fun, and Sven's kind of just been a calming influence. Get everyone organised, you're all good footballers, now let's play as a team and see where that takes us.
I think they're unlucky. If they're in a different group,
yeah,
then they could very easily go on to the next stage.
Yeah.
Drawn against an easier opponent, they could have made quarters and semis.
Yeah.
You know, it's luck of the draw. Like, for example, if they're in New Zealand's place and New Zealand were in theirs, the tides would probably be turned.
Yeah. Mind you, having said that, it was kind of when the draw came out, all the England fans were laughing because they got the easiest group, which they may not get out of.
Yeah, well, they did. I saw something on I think it might have been The Guardian, the back page when the draw came out, and it had Algeria, England, Slovenia, and Yanks all lined up, and it said easy.
Yeah. I do remember seeing that. Yeah, of course. Which is just great. Isn't it? Yeah.
It is. It's brilliant.
Yeah, that's terrific. And I have a lot of English mates, and you know, but I part of me kind of would like to see them go out the group stage just to get them off their high horse a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think most of the world would actually.
Yeah,
like to
especially because I heard from every single one of those English mates after our game against Germany, which was funny that. But I got in touch after the Algeria game.
Yes, I'm glad to hear it.
The other big talking point from that Brazil game last night was, of course, Kaká being sent off from a horrible piece of play acting by Keita of the Ivory Coast. This is just a disgrace, isn't it?
It is. It was pretty crappy. Like, nobody really saw it on first glance. It's just a big shambles. Everyone ran in, and then Kaká got sent off. I went, oh, okay, so he must have done something really bad. Replay came up. The
bloke runs into him.
Braces himself, and he kind of braces
himself with a little bit of the point of his elbow showing. But hey, if someone's just going to run into you, you're not obliged to make yourself comfortable for them to run into.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, it's more horrible refereeing. And credit to Kaká, he just walked off the field, shook his head, shrugged his shoulders, and walked off the field. Harry Kewell didn't quite take it so well.
Yeah, though the game was over by then.
That's a good point. They'd won it. Yeah. So, you know, and the refereeing is something that we're going to talk about in a little bit. So we'll get to that. Throwing back to Saturday night and the Socceroos game, what were your thoughts?
Honestly, I thought we played pretty well.
I was really proud of the guys. I was gutted, really gutted, because I kind of felt like we'd been a little bit cheated again. But, you know, you feel for the guys. Even the next morning, I was getting texts off people saying, are you okay now? Are you still sulking? And I was a little bit, because, yeah, what a great effort from Australia. 10 men against, are they the African champions or runners-up?
No, they're runners-up.
Runners-up. For 10 men to go out there and play the way we did, and if there was 10 minutes to go in that game, I think we go on and win it. You know, Wilkshire had a terrific chance to do it.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. We were 10 men, but playing like we had 13. It was crazy.
Oh, we were everywhere. And I really feel for Luke Wilkshire because he's been one of our best players, was voted best player in that game. And he came out yesterday and said he had a very rough night's sleep, unfortunately, sort of reliving that chance. So hopefully he picks himself up. Tim Cahill comes back into the side and we get the win. So, you know, let's talk the elephants in the room and the penalty and the red card.
Okay, my thoughts, yeah, I can deal with the penalty and the red card. You know, it's a referee's interpretation. It was fast. It happened really quickly. If he thought that Harry Kewell put his hand out to stop it, then he has to give it. And that's obviously what he thought. What I am pissed off about is 10 minutes later, the Ghanaian player not getting sent off.
Yes.
For a studs-up tackle from behind.
That's what we were sort of saying, okay. First of all, it's kind of an error that you get two countries trained for 4 years to go to a tournament and it just can get decided by what a referee thinks he sees. That's a topic for another day. But, yeah, consistency is the big problem with this World Cup. Tim Cahill gets sent off for trying to pull out of a challenge. Miroslav Klose makes two, you know, shoulder-to-shoulder challenges that are borderline even fouls, let alone yellow cards. He gets sent off. And then this bloke comes through with, if you look up in the textbook for red card offence, tackle from behind, studs up, this bloke's nearly chopped Bresciano off at the ankle and gets a yellow card.
That's what the red card was made for. That's what it's
made for. Yeah, you know, and yeah, you know, we were just saying we've joined a group on Facebook that says, "Oh, you play for Australia? Here's a red card." And it is just, oh, it just feels so apt. It feels like the world's against us. But having said that, you know, this is when Australia really backs the wall job. We come through. So look out, Serbia. I think there could be a bit of a backlash here because there was definitely a backlash in the Ghana game. It helped that we picked our best team.
This is true. This is very true. I've actually kind of had this little thought that perhaps this is
don't do that. You'll hurt yourself.
What Pim thought all along, planned all along. He's identified that these last two games are the ones that we really could have won. He said Germany's probably not the big of a chance. He tried to do damage limitation, which he did poorly against Germany. I'm not defending how he did it, but I'm defending his idea. And then he said we'll put on our strongest team for the last two games, which could have actually came out and worked if Kuhl hadn't been sent off so early. That kind of
could have worked, but why didn't we just, you know, New Zealand didn't go damage limitation last night. They got a draw.
Yes.
The Swiss didn't go damage limitation. They kind of did, but they didn't go as defensive as we did.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm not defending what he did. I'm just saying I can see
that was what
his
tactics were. Yeah, that's right. But, you know, I'm sure that I won't say what I was about to say. I was about to make a joke about the war. It wasn't funny. Looking forward to the Serbia game, all the permutations. We need Ghana to thump, Germany to thump Ghana, or Ghana to topple Germany. A draw in that game ends us. But of course, the first thing we have to do is win.
Yeah, well, that's it. Either way, we have to win. So we have to get that done. And then it relies on the other game. Either Ghana beat Germany, any score, or the combined score of Germany beating Ghana and us beating Serbia has to put us four goals up.
Yeah, that's right.
Difference.
So if we were to win 2-0 and the Germans were to win, say, 2-0, I think Ghana might still go through in that case.
That'd make us even. We need five goals.
Yeah, so we need a five-goal turnaround. So 3-0 Germany, 2-0 us.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Any variant of that score.
That's doable because the Germans are going to have a backlash. They were terrible against Serbia.
Mm. Well, it's not over. Like, if you have a look at the Confederations Cup last year, USA were out of it with one game left, and they did this huge 3-0 win, and the other team had a 3-0 loss.
And they won the tournament. Yeah, that's right, yeah. These massive swings can happen. It's a funny game.
That's the thing. In four-team groups, it really does come down to the last game. So.
Yeah, it's a funny game. So we'll go into it full of hope, as we always do.
Of course.
Yeah. Let's talk briefly about the Germany-Serbia game. Did you see much of it?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was quite... Vidic's swan dive handball was quite incredible, wasn't it?
It was. It defies belief almost.
What exactly is he? Because there was no one standing right behind him. That ball goes out for a goal kick if he doesn't touch it.
And it's the second one Serbia's done as well.
It was identical, yeah.
Yeah, exactly the same as the first one.
Ghana have been the beneficiaries of two, you know, one idiotic decision from a player and one decision from a referee, which probably was right, probably was a penalty. But again, it's a consistency thing. If he's saying, okay, yeah, look, it's hit your arm point blank, you know, yes, it's unlucky, but it was a goal scoring chance. Where was our penalty against Germany for the exact same thing?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That was a penalty.
That's right.
And we have been unlucky, but then again, yeah, a lot of countries have been unlucky this World Cup.
So. Yeah. Tonight's matches, we're looking ahead. We've got, this is probably the night I'm least excited about this whole tournament, actually. We've got Portugal against North Korea. We've got Chile against the Swiss and Spain against Honduras.
Funny thing is, you know, we say it's probably going to be the night we're not looking forward to. Yeah, it'll probably end up being three great games.
Well, yeah, I mean, Spain, Switzerland, I guess everyone wrote that one off, didn't they? So,
yeah, that's right. Well, Portugal,
I'm looking forward to the Chile game. I think that might be okay.
Well, Chile should be right. Chile are going to go out and just full out attack. And Switzerland are going to do exactly what they did against Spain. So it's going to be an interesting tactical matchup. Portugal and North Korea are actually going to be interesting, I think, because suddenly both teams have to fight for their survival in a way. You know, they both have a chance to snatch that second spot now that Ivory Coast are out.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to go for it a little bit.
The funny thing about that, that Keita bloke being an idiot, he injured Alano as well. Got Elano subbed off.
Yeah, the studs right in the shin.
And so he shouldn't have been on the park anyway to take his theatrical dive. And then he did, you know, his best Michael Mitchum impersonation and fell over. And gets Kaká suspended as well. So there's a good chance Brazil going to be out without Kaká and Elano. You idiot, you need Brazil to win that last group game to give you a chance of going through. And you've just taken two of their better players out of the equation. So...
In that regard, how good has Alano been playing?
Alano's been fantastic, hasn't he? Yeah. Mm. Where is he now?
He's at Galatasaray because Mark Hughes said the starting striker for Brazil isn't good enough for a substandard Manchester City, which makes perfect sense.
Everyone at Arsenal used to hate Gilberto Silva, and yet he's kept his spot in the Brazil side all this time. Mm.
It's funny how that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, Alano, yeah, he's great. He was great at City, wasn't he?
He was. He was a hero. It was. They affectionately knew him as God.
You got him and Petrov at the same time.
That's
didn't
right.
You?
Yes. Both one of Spence's findings.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Hughes came in, within a year, I think he managed to throw out all of Spence's signings. And
Sven wasn't all good. He did sign Rolando Bianchi.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. But in his defense, Sven got rid of him himself.
Oh, okay. Who's the bloke who is it Bojanov or something that just gets injured every time he tries to make a comeback? He's like Harry Kewell.
He got two season-ending injuries, both on the first day of the season, two seasons in a row.
Yeah,
which is funny because he's supposed to be the next big thing.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a really good player. And he was getting sympathy even from just other teams. Just saying, poor bloke. Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, moving on from Man City.
That's right.
That's later. Cool. What's next?
We've got here to talk about the officiating. We kind of already did that just before. So,
Like I said, you know, officiating's been pretty bad. But it's not just against Australia, which I think is what something a lot of Australians need to realise. Like, let's look at the USA game where
they were absolutely robbed.
They were not only
I've got something else I'm going to talk about after this. You finish it.
Their second striker, not Altidore, but the other one. He got a second yellow card from referee, which suspended him for the next match because
Finley or something?
Robbie Finley. Yeah. The ball hit him in the face.
Yeah,
and to rub the salt into the wound, the referee's like, "Ball hit you in the face. That's it. You're suspended for next match."
Yeah, because he gave it handball, didn't he?
Yeah,
and he copped it in the chops.
Him slashing the chops.
What I want to say is that referee was from Mali. The officials last night that ballsed up the New Zealand game were like from Costa Rica, Venezuela, etc. Yes, okay, FIFA. You've proved to us that there are referees all over the world. That doesn't mean let's get them and put them on the biggest stage in the world just to show off that we have referees all over the world. This came to light in the Champions League a couple of seasons ago, that game at Stamford Bridge between Chelsea and Barcelona, where they had a Norwegian bloke refereeing the match and, you know, just robbed Chelsea. They had three or four penalties turned down, ended up going out, and then, of course, Didier Drogba had his rant. And they all the press that week were just saying, why do we have people officiating in the Premier League, the Serie A, Spain's La Liga, they're the big leagues, and yet we get one of the richest games in football, the semi-final of the Champions League, and we go to, and we say some bloke who last week was officiating SK Brann against, I can't even name another Norwegian side, and, you know, give him the whistle. He wasn't up to it. And yeah. I don't think that bloke from Mali was up to the USA game.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. And also, that Norwegian fella actually had a bad history of making dodgy calls in big games as well.
Did he?
Seen some before. So it was okay. Really bad. The point, referees and organisations seem to have a really big stubbornness, as in they won't take common sense over...
FIFA will never admit they're wrong about anything.
Yeah. That's it. Like, another big thing, I know this is kind of not related to the World Cup, but with the Women's World Cup and just the women's game in general, FIFA and just the all referee organizations around just have this real big agenda to get female referees to referee female matches. But you talk to all the big female stars, like the Matildas, the W League, and just the local.
They just want the best referees.
They want the best referees because the women referees, no offense to anyone, but they're not the same quality.
Yeah.
And they just don't make the right decisions sometimes.
It's not to say they won't ever be, but we're just saying at the moment, if you were to go through and name your top 10 referees in Australia, they're all going to be male. There is one female assistant referee who officiates in the A-League very often. It's like it's like Lisa Ho or something like
Lisa
that.
Lisa Ho, that's it.
And she's really good. Yeah, she gets all her calls right. And and she's on the line because she's one of the best assistants in the game in Australia. You know, it's not a sexist thing. It's just get the best guy to do the job. And same at the World Cup, you know. Yes, it's the world game. We don't have to prove it to anybody. You know, what other sport in the world are you going to sell out a stadium for, you know, Paraguay against Italy in South Africa? You're not going to do that. So, you know, let's give up. Forget, you know, the Premier League have one referee at this tournament, the English Premier League, Howard Webb. And I'm not saying that, you know, that they should get all the Premier League referees, but you're telling me that a bloke who referees 38 games a season in the English Premier League, or whatever, however many they would do in the course of a season, is less qualified than a bloke who referees in the Malian League?
You know? That's the thing. Rather than taking one team from every country, which in theory sounds all wonderful, but in reality, we're just not getting the best referees in the world. This is what we need. We need the best referees.
Yeah.
You know, it's not this isn't a World Cup of refereeing. We don't need a referee from every country.
That's right.
We
exactly.
need the best ones.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, it's frustrating because you don't want the final to come down to a blunder like the blunders we've been seeing so far in this tournament.
Yeah, though in that regard, I think once we hit the quarterfinals, the best referees
we won't see Mr. Marley anymore, will we?
Yeah. Anyway, well, I think we're flogging a bit of a dead horse. Shall we move on?
Yeah, okay, we can flog a little more. Let's talk about the one that has everyone just laughing themselves to sleep at night. What the hell is going on with the French team?
Oh,
that is just unbelievable. I mean, this bloke, Dominic, even after the last World Cup, he made the final and everyone still hated him. And they reappointed him and they just keep reappointing. I wouldn't be surprised if the French FA reappoint him after this World Cup.
Well, I'm not sure about this, but someone told me they've appointed someone for next World Cup. Is this true?
I believe Dominic is leaving. Yeah, yeah.
That's good because, as you said earlier, everybody hates Raymond.
Yeah, that's right. That's not actually mine. I can't take credit for it. But it's just bizarre because for those of you who aren't up to date on the saga, I mean, first of all, everybody hated him years ago. He's a weirdo. He picks his teams on star signs and whether or not they're... Have you heard this?
Yeah, that's why Benzema...
Karim Benzema plays for Real Madrid. He's not at the World Cup because apparently he didn't fall in the right time for his stars being aligned or whatever. The bloke's a loony. He proposed to his girlfriend live on television after a French match to try and sort of deflect the criticism after another terrible French performance. She said, I think she said no at the time and later said yes or the other way around. And anyway, the latest is that Nicolas Anelka has walked in at halftime during the Mexico game He's had his commitment and performance questioned by said Dominic, to which he has responded with, go attend to yourself, you son of a... So, which meant
he used his French.
Yeah, yeah. Very fluent, yeah, as you would expect, yeah. He probably walked in and said, pardon my own language. yeah, I know. And I lost my train of thought. I was too busy thinking how bad my joke was. Yes, and he's been banned. He's been sent home. And the other players have all come out and said via their captain, Patrice Evra, that, look, he was only saying what we were all thinking. You know, we won't train until he comes back in. Their trainer, their head trainer, has released a statement and threw down his press accreditation in disgust and very theatrical performance that Gerard Depardieu would have been happy with. And, look, it is just... I think, short of Ireland actually going to the World Cup, this was the best-case scenario that everybody wanted for that French team.
It's pretty enjoyable to watch them crash and burn, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great soap opera, yeah. Right. As usual, we've had a lot of people emailing the show, texting the show. So we'd just like to ask what do we want them to hear us talk about, or what do they want us to talk about? Mick Cannon, a friend of mine, has found the show. He started listening, and he's also asked us what are our thoughts on Lukas Podolski.
Lukas Podolski, I think he's on a one man mission to knock Australia out of the World Cup.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? He was great against us, and he was. He was just so bad against Serbia. He could have scored 4 or 5 goals if he was half decent. And then they said to him, look, how about if we just put the ball here and everyone stands back and you get to run up and have a free go at it. And he fluffed it. And Craig Foster in the studio afterwards, oh, I thought he was going to hit him. And I tweeted and said, I hope that Lukas Podolski doesn't run into Fozzy in a dark alley anytime soon, because Fozzy came out, he said it was the worst penalty in World Cup history, which is a big call. I think Robbie Baggio might have something to say about that. But, look.
It was terrible, and Podolski was terrible.
The Germans just didn't look at the races, did they?
No, they didn't.
It's really, really worrying, because I think they're much more likely to... I'm hoping they thump Ghana, as opposed to hoping that Ghana beat them. Because I kind of bet on Germany to win the World Cup.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Also, I don't like Ghana. It's just their play acting, the way they kind of all just rushed to Harry Kewell and started, gesticating that he should get off the field, as if he intended to palm that ball away. Just like, you're massive cheats. You haven't scored a goal from open play yet. You've had 2 penalties gifted to you. Go home. I don't like it. We have a new leader on the Football Sack podcast leaderboard of who listens from the furthest away. It is Niall Fenton from Dublin.
Dublin?
Yeah.
Wow.
So top of the morning to you, Niall. It's great to have you on board. That's going to be hard to beat.
It is. Yep. It's going to be hard to get further away from us than Dublin.
Yeah. So, you're going to...
Shouldn't stop you from trying, though.
No. Yeah, take your transistor radio to, the top... Yeah. Is Ireland's... Just trying to think, is Scotland, in terms of latitudes, higher? Yeah.
I'm going to say yes, because Scotland has highlands.
Yeah, that kind of refers to altitude. Yeah. Well done, though, yeah. I think you're going to have to sort of take your radio to the, or your iPod to the Arctic, to top that.
Mm-hmm. If you have planned to go into space anytime soon, make sure you take your iPhone.
Yeah, go... Go to the Arctic and listen at Superman's house. Does he live at the Arctic?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, it's a big house made of ice. I don't know where he lives. And if you're going to visit me anytime soon, take your iPod, because it's a long trip, I've heard. So thanks, Niall. Luke DeLawrence has written in. He was the guy who we sort of said on our first show, if you have anything you'd like us to talk about, get in touch. He got in touch and said, I'd like to hear you talk a bit more about Formula One. So he kind of did as a joke. And then he joined our Facebook group and wrote on the wall for the Facebook group, this is the worst F1 site I've ever seen. So apologies, Luke. You might want to go to F1.com or something like that.
Yeah, well, we do our best,
Look, I'll be the first to throw my hand up and say I know nothing about motorsports, so I'm never going to be the greatest host of an F1 podcast. I'm never going to be a writer for a great F1 website. So what are you? Do you follow motorsport?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. Which made it all the more incredible on our amazing F1 wrap the other week.
Yeah, because I said to you, off the top of your head, unbelievable. Almost as if it was written from a script. So thanks to those. Too many correspondents to get through this week, but keep writing in, because if you've got something good to say, we'll give you a shout out. So keep listening.
Yeah, we'll start picking the best ones, and we'll pick about 3 or 4 every week, and hopefully you'll be one of them. So keep it coming in. And so, Jack, where can we find them?
Where can they find us? Yeah, that's right.
Where
can we find the correspondents? Would be at the same place that they would send them to us, which would be info@thefootballsack.com if you want to email. If you want to Twitter us, you can Twitter us at thefootballsack.com. No, not .com, just not
at the football sack.
Yeah, because if you're on Twitter, you're already on
that's
Twitter.
That's it.
At is how it finds you. And what else? You've got the Facebook group.
Facebook, which you can you can search for The Football Sack in the search bar, or just to make it easier, just go straight to our website, click Contact Us, and you'll have the link to our Facebook.
Yeah. You should check out the website, because we've got a couple of new sections there.
We do. We have a results section, which at the moment has the A-League preseason results.
Yeah.
And we'll have...
which we'll talk about in a moment, actually, when we get to the A-League.
We have, and we'll have the actual A-League results there when the season starts. We have a new W-League section, which will be updated weekly, and that will have match reports and just a general wrap on all things on the women's side of Australian football. And we have a new competition win stuff page, which is very exciting, especially for our Sydney listeners.
Do we want to talk about that now?
Why not?
Yeah, let's talk about that now. Our other writer,
our colleague,
one of our other writers, our colleague for the site,
co-founder, in fact.
Well, yeah, of course. Matt Greenlaw. He is an actor, and he's taking part in a show that's a musical that's starting in Sydney called Beauty the Musical, and the Football Sack is going to give its Sydney readers the chance to win 2 tickets to the Wednesday night preview of the new musical Beauty, a modern interpretation of the classic fairy tale of Sleeping Beauty. It'll be running from July 7th to the 21st at NIDA Parade Theatre in Kensington. It's a fantastic night of music theatre starring the Football Sack's own Matt Greenlaw, along with the Four Kinsmen, Scott Radburn, the Four Kinsmen, very famous group, 9-time Emmy Award winner Stephen Fisher King. Fisher King. Mm-hmm. And 8-time MO award winner Lizzie Taylor. Not Elizabeth Taylor, just Lizzie Taylor. Yeah. Beauty is sure to delight.
I think so.
Yeah.
And how can we win this amazing prize?
For your chance to win, simply write to us info@thefootballsack.com and tell us in 25 words or less what your best moment of this 2010 World Cup is so far. And it doesn't have to be something from the pitch. Tell us about your lack of sleep, your adventures at the pub watching the games, your FIFA fan site stories if you go to Darling Harbour, etc. Talking about watching the games at the pub. On Saturday, I was at a birthday party, so I watched the game sort of, with a big group of people. And, the blokes I was sitting with, they were just, I wanted to hit them. You know the typical blokes who have played FIFA a hell of a lot, but that's their only sort of involvement in football? Like the bloke, looked like he'd eaten a horse.
Yes, yes.
But apparently, 5 years of solid FIFAing makes you a footballing expert, and he would be willing to shout down anybody else in the room to describe... was doing my head in. And of course, it's a great competition. And what better way to make up to your partner, wife, husband, life partner, for those of you who have those, for all those late nights of being up watching the football. So, if you've sort of had someone on edge by having the TV on 24/7, throw a couple of free tickets to the musical under their nose. I'm sure things will be sweet.
Well, that's it. Great prize to win, For those who don't really know much of the theatre world, NIDA, you're not going to get a better performance in Australia than from NIDA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Great, great cast, a lot of credentials, and apparently there's a few lookers too there as well. So,
In the show. Really?
Yeah.
Is Matt saying that about himself?
He's a looker too, so it's all right.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, you don't get in these kind of musicals unless you're gorgeous, surely.
That's right. Matt
was the one who had an exclusive interview with Kofi Danning and Seb Ryle from Sydney FC, as you heard there at the start. They gave us a bit of an intro. You can hear the full interview with them by going to thefootballsack.com. Click on our interviews tab up the top, and you can listen to that. It will play over the website. They... agreed with the majority of the poll so far, that I look like actor Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
They struggled to tell the difference, apparently.
Kofi said he couldn't tell us... he said identical, and Seb Ryle said couldn't tell you apart. So what do you think? Go to the website. The poll's still up for a couple more days. You can check it out. Check out a photo of me. Check out a photo of Jonathan. Have a bit of a laugh, and I'll send a signed photo in the post. Okay, let's talk A-League. That time of the show, we've got to wrap this up in the next 5 minutes or so. Let's talk A-League. Results so far, obviously, we've got Robbie Fowler's off the mark for Perth Glory.
Yes.
Scored in their friendly the other
night. And also had three assists.
Did he really?
And an 8-1 win?
8-0, I think.
8-0.
Yeah, against Rockingham, yeah. That was well done. We touched on Sydney FC's game against Manly United last time out. Was Sydney FC going to play this weekend again? I think. Did they just play?
I think they've got a game coming up soon.
Yeah.
Though I don't quote me on that. I don't have the facts.
I'm sure they do. I'm just trying to think of who it is. It's someone out west.
Brisbane Roar also beat an African Invitational 11, 2-0.
Yes.
Goals from Matt Mackay and Henrique.
Who are they playing in their Roar Against Racism game this year?
I'm not sure if it's been released yet, because they have the friendly against Everton, but they haven't released any other big profile friendlies.
Yeah, because them Sydney and the Heart to play Everton, isn't it?
That's right. So talking about the game against Everton, Sydney FC will have a guest player.
They will. Dwight York is coming back to play one last game for the Sky Blues, which I think is good. It's kind of weird that he played, 20 games or something for a club to go back. But he had a cult following. He was instrumental in Sydney in that first season, getting on the map. And I think it's great he's coming back.
All Night Dwight. He probably still has been the biggest,
Impact
with the A-League. Both in profile and in performance.
He was the definition of marquee player.
That's right.
Isn't he?
Yeah. It's what the A-League needed for the original boost at the start. Sydney FC fans still love him.
We had a great relationship with the fans at the club too.
He did. And it also goes to show that after playing a year in the A-League, he was still good enough to go back and play 2.5 seasons in the Premier League.
That's right, yeah. He went to Sunderland while they were in the Championship, got promoted and played in the Premier League with him, which is great for the A-League. So, he's a cult hero. I think it's great. So, well done to Dwight.
He loved his time here, and he's looking forward to the game. So, should be good.
As you would be.
That's it.
A last chance, really. We were joking about this before, saying we've got our promotion with Betfair, of course, where you can go and bet against the Poms to make the final four, and even if they do, Betfair will give you your money back. You might want to get on it, because the way things are going, their tournament could be over within the next couple of days. So go to the website, click on the Betfair link, open up an account, and bet. You've got to lay the Poms, it's called. So you go to the final four market, you click on England, you lay them. Again, references to John Terry. And then you bet, and anything up to $100, they'll refund.
Yeah, they'll refund $100 of liability. So, awesome.
Brilliant. Is that everything we've covered?
That's everything, I think.
All right, well, thank you once again, everybody who tuned into the show today. We hope that you enjoyed yourself and enjoyed the football tonight. And the next night, we will be talking after the Socceroos game, because it'll be Thursday we're back in here.
We will, that's right. We'll be back here on Thursday. Socceroos play Thursday morning.
Yeah.
So, we look forward to that game, and I'm sure you'll too. Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah. If you're game enough to send in a prediction before the game, which we will read out after the game on next week's show, that'd be interesting.
And if you can't wait till Thursday to talk to us, and hit us up on Twitter, we're there every night.
We're Twittering every single night of the World Cup. During the matches, we do TFS trivia, so get involved. I've been your host, Jack Quigley. That's been Christian Leyland. As always,
goodbye, everyone.
See you around, guys.